To youths that have gathered here in the house of the Lord, I would say that it's the greeting from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that greets you this night. As we have come to hear that spoken word and to be challenged in our duties and responsibilities as those Christians for the Lord. It's been a beautiful day. We've had many good gifts and blessings throughout our life, and this day especially has been a good one. I'd like to share with you just a short passage of Scripture found in the 43rd section of Doctrine and Covenants, which is our theme Scripture for this week. And starting in verse 7, "Behold, verily I say unto you, that these are the words of the Lord your God. Wherefore, labor ye in my vineyard for the last time. For the last time call upon the inhabitants of the earth. For in mine own due time will I come upon the earth in judgment. And my people shall be redeemed, and shall reign with me on earth for the great millennium, which I have spoken by the mouth of my servants, shall come." Shall we open our service with a singing of hymn 105, "Come Ye Apart"?
Thank you. Gracious and almighty God, we gather here this night, few in number, but indeed, Lord, we know that your Spirit will attend us in this hour, for it has done so in so many times in the past, and we would ask humbly now that it would indeed envelop each of us, that it would touch our hearts and minds in a way that we would be receptive to the words that our brother will bring this night. We pray for all who are here and all who are desiring to be so, but yet are unable for some reason. We pray for our friends and loved ones, too, that you would continue to bless them in their daily walk of life, that they might be examples for you, that each of us might be as well, that beacon that you want us to be, that shining light to show others the promise that you have placed before us so freely. So give us in this hour that a portion of your Spirit and bless us that we might retain those thoughts that our brother brings, that we might be able to share them throughout the week. And this we ask thee, bow humbly, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray. Amen.
Well, we can all go home now. We've had a wonderful worship already. I enjoyed that music. It was very beautiful. You guys sang well tonight. I'm going to read out of Section 77 of the Doctrine and Covenants to start with. I'm going to cover a subject tonight that's very hardly ever spoken about. And if you haven't guessed what it is, I'll give it a while and I'll see if you can guess what it is. 77:1d, for a permanent and everlasting establishment and order unto my church, to advance the cause which ye have espoused, to the salvation of man, to the glory of your Father who is in heaven, that you may be equal in the bands of heavenly things, yea, and earthly things also, for the obtaining of heavenly things. For if you're not equal in earthly things, you cannot be equal in obtaining heavenly things. For if you will that I give you a place in the celestial world, you must prepare yourselves by doing the things which I have commanded you and required of you.
We will remain seated and sing further hymn 343.
takes me a little longer to get up than it used to. When I had cancer about 10 years ago, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do a lot of speaking again. My voice really got pretty bad and raspy and difficult to speak. But I fought through that, and the Lord blessed me. So far, it's doing pretty good. And what I did is I went home, we got up in the morning, I would read the scriptures to my wife for about 20 or 30 minutes each day. And that greatly strengthened my voice. But unfortunately, I've given that up lately, and so now my voice is starting to get crackly again. So if you can't hear me, just hold your hand up. I'll try to speak a little clearer if you're better. If we're in the celestial kingdom, then we need to obey the celestial law. Celestial law are the laws of Christ, a.k.a. the laws of heaven, where they are the same. In Acts 4:31, the disciples there, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that they had aught of things which he possessed with his own, but they had all things common. And the great power gives apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there anything among them that lacked, many among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to his had needs. Well, I guess you guessed by now, and I'm going to talk to you about stewardship. And I don't know why we avoid that subject so often, that we don't talk about it and don't prepare for it. I'm here to testify to you that when you pay your tithing, the Lord will bless you. And he's blessed me, and I know he's blessed my son all his life, for he's always paid his tithing first and foremost. Always pay the tithing. And as Jesus is telling us here, that if we want to be in the celestial kingdom, which is that kingdom that he's going to bring down here soon, we need to obey the celestial law. And that's the law of stewardship. It may seem to some people, I'm sorry, I have trouble seeing. Let me switch glasses here. Maybe that'll help me a little bit. There's just a certain distance out, a very small, infinite line that you can see when you get old. So you gotta have all kinds of glasses to help you with that. Yeah, that's better. And it may seem to some people to be a contradiction of terms to speak of the economical laws of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, some would say, and would quote the words of Jesus, "My kingdom is not of this world." It is true that the kingdom of God is not of this world, but it can be, and indeed was intended to be in this world. For Jesus also taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, and all the laws of the kingdom of heaven are obeyed on earth. When we shall have the kingdom here and now, and God will have complete and perfect rule over both heaven and earth, which is what he requires. To admit that the kingdom and its laws are spiritual does not imply that the kingdom has no practical laws, no tangible concrete physical implications. All Christ's people believe that man is spirit. And they also are pretty well agreed that man needs a body to implement and give expression to the will of that spirit. So far as we know, the spirit is helpless to do much on the physical planes of existence unless it is implemented with a physical body. Just so, the spiritual kingdom is not of much practical value to men on this earth, living this mortal life, unless its spiritual law find practical, tangible expression in social, economic, and even political affairs. The laws of the kingdom were not given simply that men might die and go to heaven, but that they might begin to live a heavenly quality of life on earth. Now, that they might not have more abundant life, beginning now and continuing through eternity. Therefore, a kind, loving, equitable, and just Heavenly Father cannot be pleased with men who profess spiritual love for Him and who oppress their fellow men socially, economically, or politically. No earthly father, whose sons were all serving Him obediently, could say to "Be thou clothed in robes and sit thou here," and to another "Be thou clothed in rags and sit thou there," and still claim to be a just and impartial father. Neither is it God's will that men should ignore the law of love, the spiritual law of the kingdom, to provide an abundance for themselves by exploiting others and depriving them of the necessities of life. If men are not equal in earthly things, God cannot bless them with equality in heavenly things. When the life of the kingdom is transplanted unto us, so will we be born again, with the Spirit of Christ living in us. Our attitude towards the world, towards other fellow men, towards our possession, undergoes a complex change. Nowhere is there a better or more striking example of this than the transformation which came to the New Testament church, as described in the second and fourth chapter of Acts. When the Spirit came upon them on a day of Pentecost, none of them from thenceforth said that any of the things which they possessed was his own. They were convinced that all things belonged to God. Now they were only stewards over them, that which God had placed in their possession. With this new sense of stewardship, there came a new concern for the welfare of others. Neither was there anything among them that lacked. They were one heart and one mind. Equality in spiritual things was balanced by equality in temporal things. They had all things common. This did not necessarily mean that there was no private property, for neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had private property. For without ownership and control of property, there would be no time for no true stewardship. But they regarded their property as God, not their own. Because it was God's, they gladly devoted their surplus to the relief of the poor. A careful reading of these verses will convince the student that when those that were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of these things to market, they did not sell everything they had, making everybody poor. So that all could be poor and equally and together is not the way of more abundant life. Notice in this passage, lands and houses and prices, the only ones sold to surplus houses And those who had more lands or more things than they could properly use did likewise. Every man kept his house, his tools, his land, the capital necessary to run his business as a stewardship from God, to be used in God's business. To sell them and then apply for relief would have been potentially foolish and out of keeping with the best principles of the stewardship. Let us note another supremely important thing, that there was no force or coercion used to bring men into the compliance with these economic laws of the kingdom. If the kingdom, because they had been born again, because they had been endowed with the life of the kingdom, because they were filled with the Holy Ghost and blessed, because the laws are made to live by citizens of the kingdom. And one kingdom-minded man, the one that further encouraged the unregenerated man into his laziness and unregenerative man and his laziness and greed. But when economic relations are according to the laws of the kingdom without compulsion or force or coercion, respecting the rights and the property of each other, and exercising also a godly concern for each other, there the kingdom law can be lived, and God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. In such a group, there would be recognition of God's ownership through the principle of an annual financial accounting to the bishop, which we don't have now, but we can still bring in a financial accounting to the church or keep it stowed away at your house with a safe or wherever it needs to be. And when Christ returns, I think we're going to be required to make that accounting. Who has been set in the church as God's minister and the bishop is, and do. In such a group, there would not be universal obedience to the principle of tithing. One-tenth of net increase, not gross income. Let me say that again. What we owe in tithing is one-tenth of our net increase, not our gross income, annually. In such a group, there would be observation of the principle of socialization and of consecration of surplus, which surplus would be the means of providing less fortunate men with the means of earning a living and paying the tithe of their increase, and eventually, perhaps, a concentration of their surplus. Perhaps one reason why we do not enjoy more of the heavenly blessings in the church today is that we have not learned to be equal in earthly things. We have refused to pay heed to the economic laws of the kingdom. And therefore, for us, the kingdom of God has not been realized on earth. If we are not equal to certain things, we cannot be equal in obtaining heavenly things. The spiritual laws of the kingdom must first practical implementation in economic affairs, if we are to have the kingdom of God on earth. A good example of that, we all know, and this has been read many times, in the fourth chapter in the fourth Nephi, the first chapter, pretty much the whole chapter, we learn about the people that had just had Christ with them, and he taught them. He told them everything they needed to know about the financial law and the stewardship and the things that would bring them into the kingdom. And this is what 4th Nephi said about those people. And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord. upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. There were no contention and disputations among them. Every man did deal justly one with another, and had all things common among them. Therefore they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And it came to pass that 37 years passed away also, and there was still continual peace in the land. And there was a great and marvelous work wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick, raise the dead, and cause the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear. In all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men, and in nothing did they work miracles, save it was in the name of Jesus. And thus did the 38th year pass away, and also the 39th, and the 41st, and the 42nd, even as the 49th years passed away, and also the 50th and 1st, and the 50th and 2nd, even the 59 years had passed away. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land. Yea, insomuch they did build cities again where cities had been burned. Yea, even great cities there Ahimelech did cause to be built again. Many cities had been sunk, the waters came up in the stead thereof, and these cities could not be renewed. Now behold, it came to pass the people of Nephi did wax strong and did multiply exceeding fast, and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. They were married, given in marriage, blessed according to the multitude of promises which the Lord made unto them. They did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses. They did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord, their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and in meeting together all, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass there was no contention among all the people. In all the land. And there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass the 70 and first year, and also the 72nd. And then fine unto the 79th year passed away. Even 100 years had passed away. And the disciples of Jesus, whom he had chosen, had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also of that generation which had passed away. And it came to pass there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which dwelt in the hearts of the people. There were no envies, nor strife, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, no lying, no murders, nor any matter of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, for they were one, the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, and they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation of Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in the land. What a wonderful blessing the Lord had for those people. And I pray that the Lord is going to bless us in that manner and fashion in the days to come. As many people have said from the pulpit lately, we have been set aside for this generation. And we need to get it right. And I'm going to read you of another revelation, modern day revelation. It was first published in the second 1844 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants, the section 107. By action of the 1970 World Conference, its inclusion was confirmed. It was given through Joseph Smith Jr. at Far West, July 8, 1838, in answer to the petition. O Lord, how should show unto thy servants how much thou requirest of the property of thy people for a tithing. Verily thus saith the Lord, I require all thy surplus property to be put in the hands of the bishop and of my church of Zion, for the building of mine house, for laying the foundation of Zion, and for the priesthood and debts of the presidency of my church. And thus shall be the beginning of the tithing of my people. And after that, those that have thus been tithed shall pay one-tenth of all their interest annually. And this shall be a standing law unto them forever, and for my holy priesthood, saith the Lord. Verily I say unto you, it shall come to pass that all those who gather into the land of Zion shall be tithed of their surplus properties, and shall observe this law, or they shall not be found worthy to abide among you. And I say unto you, if my people observe not this law to keep it holy, by this law sanctify the land of Zion unto me, that my statutes and my judgment may be kept thereon, that it may be most holy. Behold, verily I say unto you, it shall not be a land of Zion unto you, and this shall be an example unto all the stakes of Zion. Even so, amen. So the Lord's been very specific with his church and his priesthood and our duties and responsibilities, as well as to those that belong to the church. And nobody likes to talk about money and properties, and I don't think anybody likes doing the books. My father was an avid keeper of his priesthood responsibility and in keeping his tithing paid. He used the old book where he wrote in there, you know, your expenses and your what you had, what need of, and your wants, and your just wants and needs, and etc. And he was, he did it daily, sometimes even hourly. If he paid a nickel for a cup of coffee, he put down a nickel in the ledger. And yeah, you could get coffee for a nickel a long time ago. But you know, we need to start some kind of process within all of us that we can find a way to keep the commandments of the Lord, all of them. And I think this is one that we've been sorely lacking in. I have kind of fallen short on that with my accounting lately. But I still paid all my tithing, I think, but how would I know if I didn't keep record of it? And I haven't kept real good records here lately, so I gotta say I'm speaking to the choir here. I need to do better myself. But we all need to look at that and try to change our ways and give the Lord his due, that we might be able to enter into the kingdom when it is here. And who knows, if we're really all diligent in doing that, we might have the kingdom here before we know it. Joe spoke about the four clouds over Zion. Well, Zion, stewardship is one of those clouds that the church has fallen short of. And I don't mean to chastise anybody. Like I said, I'm a sinner myself. But the Lord is valiant to forgive us, and repentance is always at hand for each and every one of us. We know how that works, and it shouldn't be anything difficult for us to do. If anybody doesn't understand the law of tithing or doesn't understand what they need to do, the priesthood is here to help you. And we can do that through home visits, or we have many different ways that we can help you in making an accounting. I know we're not all financial wizards, so I wouldn't be surprised if all of us couldn't use a little help from time to time. But common sense goes a long way. And if you're making out your tax at the end of the year, that's a really good time to do your tithing, because you got most of the information you need right there on your tax form. And some people think, well, maybe I'll probably never be able to pay all my tithing. Well, you know, it's really not that burdensome. All you owe is on is your increase. You don't owe on all the other stuff if you've been paying up. Now, if you're starting a new accounting, well, you may have to catch up. But that's possible, too. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing what the Lord can do. I was blessed with a job that every time I needed something or needed money or I was running short financially, the Lord blessed me. They would give me a raise or give me another position in the company or whatever it might be. And I was always blessed as long as I kept my tithing up. And then when I had that increase, I would pay tithing on that. And the Lord just, it's just amazing what He can do for you. So my hope and my prayer for you today is that you will consider that and look into it for yourselves and your family. And do it as a family. Don't just take it upon one person. Let everybody contribute to that. Let everybody make their accounting. The children to the older ones, they need to do that. And, of course, there's a lot of good books out there. And then there's also some, I forgot his name now, there's a financial guy that a lot of people in the church have been using to because they were in debt and they wanted to get out of debt. And they used his financial advice to get themselves out of debt. And I know that there's, Joe knows who he is. I can't think of his name right offhand, but that course is really a great course to start out with. If you don't have it, and if you don't have that problem, that's fine. That's great. If you can do it yourself, that's great. But don't leave the Lord out of it either. You got to ask Him what He thinks right and what He does. And as long as we're truthful with Him, it doesn't matter. As long as we're doing what we think is best and doing all that we can do, then the Lord will bless us. I was going to try to get in a little bit of sanctification, but I think I'll just save that for another time. I'm grateful that you came tonight and that you have listened intently, and hope I haven't bored you too badly. But the good Lord has been here and blessed us, and I really enjoyed those first songs. They really brought the spirit for me and really made it worth my while to come here and worship with you as we're supposed to do continually. So may the Lord, good Lord, bless and keep you until we meet again. Thank you.
most kind, loving Heavenly Father, once again we approach you, Father, and do so in thanksgiving. Father, we want to thank you for the message of our brothers. He shared with us about stewardship and reminded us, Father, that responsibility and duty we all have. And truly we know, Father, if we follow your instruction, your guidance, and do it the way that you instruct, you will bless us over and over again. So, Father, truly we have no cause not to follow the laws of stewardship and to pay our tithing and to do that, Father, what you have called us to do. So we pray, Father, we might take to heart and heed these words that our brothers shared this evening. Father, we pray also that you might go with each family represented here and that you might guide them home safely, that they return to their families, Father, that you would give them safe passage. And Father, we would be mindful of those of our congregation that aren't here, in particular those, Father, that have health issues and other struggles, Father, that keep them from coming. We pray, Father, that you might bless them and watch over them in this time. Until we come again, Father, once in this house, and we can enjoy, Father, that spirit that reigns here, we ask you watch over us all, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.